Welcome to a special edition of Apologetics Profile. I'm Watchman Staff Apologist Daniel Ray. Today's episode is going to be a little different. What you're about to hear is a broadcast from a Dallas-based Christian talk radio program, Point of View, hosted by Kirby Anderson. Point of View has been on the air nationwide for almost 50 years, defending faith, family, and freedom, with featured guests who are authors, politicians, scientists, journalists, and other leading cultural influencers. Point of View examines today's important issues from a family-friendly biblical perspective, and you can find out more about Point of View at their website at pointofview.net. That's pointofview.net. Today's episode of Apologetics Profile features an interview on Point of View from November of 2019 with James Walker, president of Watchman Fellowship, atheist Bill Kluck, and myself, discussing one of the ministries of Watchman Fellowship, the Atheist and Christian Book Club. James and Bill began the Atheist and Christian Book Club in April of 2017. Before the pandemic, we used to meet once a month in person at our offices in Arlington, Texas, for a meal followed by a discussion of an atheist or a Christian book. Our discussions are lively, but are always respectful and civil. And our book club has been fortunate to have the authors of the books we discuss join us live in person or over Zoom. Past guests have included Dr. Hugh Ross, Dr. Frank Turek, Dr. Tim McGrew, John W. Loftus, Dr. Michael Ruse, Dr. Richard Carrier, J. Werner Wallace, Dr. Paul Copan, Dr. Gary Habermas, and theologian Dr. Craig Keener. We have even had the privilege of hosting the late Dr. Carl Sagan's daughter, Sasha Sagan, when we discussed her father's book, The Pale Blue Dot. For more information about the book club, you can visit atheistchristianbookclub.com. That's atheistchristianbookclub.com. On the website, you can find out how you can join us live, you can watch videos of previous club meetings, and you can find out information about upcoming book discussions. Information about Point of View and the book club will also be included in the podcast notes of this episode. So we hope you enjoy this special broadcast from our Point of View interview from November of 2019 about the Atheist and Christian Book Club. Here's the host of Point of View, Kirby Anderson.
Hi, this is Kirby Anderson. You know, each day we take on the tough issues and provide a biblical perspective to them. The topics we cover are wide-ranging. Apologetics, theology, prophecy, creation and evolution, intelligent design, marriage, family, child-rearing, the millennial generation, friends and society, politics, economics, business, religious liberty, the Constitution, public policy, foreign policy, military policy, tensions in the Middle East, abortion, homosexuality, pornography, sexual ethics, media, technology, history, and America's godly heritage. We talk about anything that affects your faith, your family, or your freedom. So don't go anywhere, because Point of View continues right now.
America Live. This is Point of View.
And now, Kirby Anderson.
This hour, we want to spend some time talking about the Atheist Christian Book Club. And you might say, did I hear that right? Yes, you did. And I think it's going to be a great conversation. So I'm going to spend just a little bit of time, first of all, talking about the history. And I'm going to work my way around the round table. You can watch the program if you would like. And of course, you can listen as well. And the first guest I'm going to go to is James Walker. Well, he doesn't need a lot of introduction. President of Watchman Fellowship. Individual was fourth generation Mormon with 25 years of experience in ministry. He's been on the program for decades. We've known each other for decades, and it's great to have you in studio with us.
Great to be back, Kirby. Really appreciate it.
And I want you in just a minute to tell the story about how this came about, but let me also introduce somebody I met for the first time, Bill Kluck, who is a graduate of Virginia Tech in history and became a Christian earlier on and then left the faith 30 years ago and has been serving as the outreach coordinator with the Metroplex Atheist, and is also one of the co-founders of the Atheist and Christian Book Club. So great to have you in studio with us. And then finally, let me also bring to the conversation Daniel Ray. Daniel's been with us a couple of different times. Usually we're talking about intelligent design, astronomy, or a variety of other things. But one time we were even talking about cultural apologetics.
That's right.
And Daniel, of course, had a master's thesis on planet Narnia, worked with Dr. Michael Ward. We've talked about some of his books and videos, and you got involved in in this as well, didn't you?
Yes. Several years ago, I forgot how it happened, but I was in email contact with James, and I was fascinated by this idea. It was right up my alley, apologetically speaking, and it's been a wonderful learning experience in how to engage people with the gospel that don't see it like you do, really face-to-face. So the incarnate dialogue is really what I've enjoyed about it.
Well, let's go to each one of you. James, first of all, I'll give you the first chance. And as you go to the website, pointofview.net, we have a very good link. And just scroll down to the Atheist Christian Book Club. And there is a great video that people can watch and maybe even pass on to others. And I might mention that even though, James, this takes place in Dallas, and certainly Dallas people can attend, because it's on Facebook, anybody that has access to the internet can participate in this, can't they?
Yes, we run it on Facebook Live as it's happening. You can participate, and we have the last year's worth of book clubs available to watch and see what happened and unpack that. But I met Bill Cluck. I was actually preaching at Cottonwood Church and here in the Metroplex, and he was there and engaged with me. He thought I was a pastor of the church. I was a guest pastor, I guess you would say, preacher. And he was trying to get a meet an atheist Sunday. And so I said, what's this all about and all? But he found out I lived in Arlington. It was just right down the street. Our office is a half a block from the place where the Metroplex atheists meet every Wednesday. And he invited me there. I got to know some of them for about a year. I would regularly, once or twice a month, go and spend some time at this bar down the street talking to the atheists, the Metroplex atheists. And so he had an idea of maybe we need to do something where we could take this conversation and make it into some more opportunities and things. And so we put our heads together. Why don't we have a book club? We've been talking about books, both Christian books and atheist books. And so about almost 3 years ago, our first book club, we alternate. We'll do a Christian book and then an atheist book. And it is a monthly gathering of both skeptics and believers who respectfully discuss important books from both perspectives. And we're pretty successful on the being respectable part of it. It has gotten a little lively a few times. But remarkably, over time, Kirby, we get to be friends. And you get to know them better. And one of the things that happened to me is of course, I speak in churches all over the country and speak to Christian groups, and all my ideas sound brilliant in church. But when you get with a room full of atheists, and there's 25 atheists, and they're going to critique what you're saying, you'll find out, hey, maybe some of your ideas are better than others. And I think it's helped me, being in the book club, to be a better thinker. At least I hope it has.
Well, and as you well know, my background for many years before I ever did this was speaking on college campuses all over the country. And so, again, you run into that. And really, most of the audiences I run into are pretty hostile to some of the things I have to say. And so it's a good place to test out some of your ideas. So, Bill, let me get to know you a little bit better, because we'll put you closer to the microphone here. But would love to know a little bit more about how you guys came together and what you want to fill out the rest of the story about.
Well, just like James said, I kind of met him at Cottonwood Church, and we became friends, and it's just been a fantastic relationship. You couldn't ask for a better partner. I mean, because we have to decide every month, you know, what book to choose.
For sure.
And you know, we'll have disagreements, but ultimately, you know, we have to make a decision, and most of the time we're on the same page.
Yeah.
And it's nice talking to people like Ray and James, because even though we're on opposite sides, we have a lot in common in that we love apologetics.
Yeah.
We can, when we talk about Josephus or the Q document or whatever, we are on the same page. You don't have to go to a lengthy explanation. And it's just really refreshing to talk to people, whether it's on apologetics with James or with cosmology with Ray, that just know so much about their subjects. And I've learned a tremendous amount about Mormonism from James. He's just a wealth of information.
He is a walking encyclopedia.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Yeah.
But it is interesting, before we go on, there is a sense in which you agree with the rules of the debate. Now, there's in the old days when I used to speak to the North Texas Humanist Association, things like that, everybody in the room at least believes that data is certainly worth considering, and that maybe we can find truth. But in this post-truth culture, where you have your view of truth and you have a different view of truth, I'll present information. People go, well, that's your truth. It's not my truth. But at least I get the sense that you kind of have that same kind of understanding of what is evidence and how to use that evidence, which I think really provides an opportunity for dialogue, don't you think?
Absolutely. And what's an interesting debate within the atheist community is the historicity of Jesus. You have the mythicist camp that believes Jesus was just a myth.
Yeah.
And then the group like myself who definitely believe in a historical Jesus. And we actually had David Fitzgerald, who we interviewed and read his book, Nailed. Remember that?
Yes.
I interviewed him. He would just not give an inch. I just think there's just tremendous evidence for the historical Jesus from a variety of sources. You know, there are independent sources throughout the Mediterranean that all came to the same conclusion. And so, you know, we do have some real common ground here.
Yeah, I think so. And I know one of the influential people in your life was Bart Ehrman. And he said, you know, come on, don't tell
certainly.
Me that. Yeah,
Jesus,
don't
certainly.
Tell me that we don't have a Jesus here. Yeah. And Dan, I don't want to give you less than a minute. So I'm going to just go to the break and come back to hear a little bit from you as well. But if you would like to join us, by the way, we already have a caller or two. So if you'd like to join, 1-800-351-1212. And I thought you would really enjoy knowing about this Christian atheist debate or this atheist Christian book club, however you want to put which one goes first. And we certainly want you to participate in the conversation here as well. And more importantly, we wanted to give you a sort of a preview of some of the kinds of things that have been discussed. Maybe we'll talk about one or two of the books that have been put on the table. And I know that Daniel Ray's got some really good things to share, especially from his own experience. So we'll come back to him. And if you find yourself saying, I'd like to know about each one of these individuals. We've tried to do our best to give you a bio for each one of them so that you can follow what they are actually doing. And so then you can go to the Atheist Christian Book Club. It's atheistchristianbookclub.com. Pretty simple to find. But we have all the links there. We have information about the meetings, the blog, contact. And if you want to start participating, either face-to-face or over Facebook Live, we're going to make that possible for you as well. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Point of View, your listener-supported source for truth.
Back once again, if you'd like to join our conversation, 1-800-351-1212. And we'll get to one of those phone calls in just a minute. But James Walker and Daniel Ray and Bill Kluck. And Daniel, I kind of gave you short shrift, so I wanted to get some of your comments because, as you said, we've had a chance to see these two individuals bring together the Atheist Christian Book Club. You showed up, and you keep going, and now you're actually working on it. So it must be something that's pretty intellectually stimulating. Tell us more.
Well, it is. It really was fantastic. I was really surprised. I've discovered this shortly after I completed my master's degree at HBU in apologetics. And so I went quickly from the abstract realm of ideas and learning about atheism in books and videos and things to actually engaging, as James said earlier. You know, apologetics sounds wonderful when you're talking to the choir, but when you get out in front of people that don't like to sing, it's really difficult to convince them that music is a good thing.
Yeah.
And so the Atheist Christian Book Club for me was really getting involved with the incarnate relationships in the dialogue, which is so important because, as you know, the central hope of the Christian faith is the incarnation and Jesus engaging people in the body, God coming down in a body and talking to us. And so for me, it is in this day and age of social media where everything is an image and everything is on the computer, in-person engagement with skeptics really has been a wonderful way for me to grow into my faith and how to properly engage in the conversation.
Let's see if we can take a phone call. We'll go to Jim, listening on the internet, first time listener. And I guess you've been to one of the book clubs. Tell us more.
Hi, my name is Jim. I'm from Midlothian. I'd just like to say, I've been going to in person for the last, 3 years or so now. And I would just like to share just how wonderful groups like this are. And I'd like to see them pop up. You know, other places, there's ways to get involved online as well. The Friends of the Atheist and Christian Book Club on Facebook as well. There's lively discussions. And what makes this, I believe, different than pretty much any other group out there, it's just amicable. It's non-confrontational. And I think in this divided culture that we're experiencing now, politically, socially, along religious lines, it's groups like this that can help bridge that gap and counteract that.
Well, that sounds good to me. Any other things that you learned from the club just before I let you go?
Well, I did not come there to change minds. I came to seek truths, and although I'm an atheist, and really no one really changes their minds But I have changed my mind on lesser issues four times in the last 3 years. So if you come with an open mind, it's a really great thing. And, you know, not dogmatic, and don't be set in your ways. Be willing to learn.
Very good. Bill, one of the things I have is a link to the Atheist Christian Book Club on your picture there as well. But talk about that, because is it a situation and is it a setting which atheists feel comfortable in? Talk about
absolutely.
That.
I think both Christians and atheists feel comfortable. And I want to mention about Jim, who has a podcast, The Atheist Edge. When we met him 3 years ago, Jim was more of an aggressive, confrontational atheist, and he has softened up immensely. Me and James comment about it, how nicer he is, how thoughtful he is now. I mean, you might have something to say, James.
Yeah, he's more knowledgeable. I mean, it's like he really has studied the issues. He reads the books. I mean, he's you can tell he interacts with the information. And so when Jim says something, I know he's atheist, but when Jim says something at the club, I know he's got a lot of thought into it. He's going to raise a good point. Is going to maybe challenge me, and I enjoy being challenged, and I think I've had maybe raised my own good points.
And oddly enough, Jim has been, we had Frank Turk, who wrote, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist, and he was very impressed with the fine-tuning argument, which he said had very compelling evidence, and hadn't lost his faith, but, you know, he was honest and open enough to look at the evidence and to agree that there is good evidence. And with Brady, one of the persons on staff, they had a nice debate on the problem in Luke where you have the census and you have the two things with Quirinius, the two dates. And they had a nice back and forth. And apparently Brady found a inscription with Quirinius as a military governor at one time. And Jim said, hey, it looks like good evidence. I'm open to it, which was very commendable, don't you think?
Well, appreciate Jim calling. And if you'd like to join the conversation, 1-800-351-1212. Let me go around the round table again. How do you choose some of those books? I think you got one coming up on The Secret, if I've read correctly.
This was a book I co-authored. And for over a year, they said, do one of your books. And unfortunately, I don't think I've written any books that would be good for the club, you know. But this is one that maybe we'll have a kumbaya this month or in December. Because we're going to be talking about really pantheism and this idea of the secret, which comes from like a New Age spirituality. And I think it's going to be something that for once, finally, everybody in the room is probably going to agree this is not true.
That thoughts become reality
exactly.
And that kind of stuff. And that's part of it, too. As Bill, when we talk about this, there are times when sometimes the Christian and the atheist say, okay, we may disagree on some points, but we definitely have some problems with some of the ideas of the New Age movement and some of the super spirituality and things like that. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. The laws of attraction so forth, I just think are nonsense. And another thing, you know, talking about our books, a perfect example is because we'll try to choose things that relate to each other. Bart Ehrman wrote a book, How Jesus Became God.
Right.
So a perfect
Very
compliment.
Familiar with the book, yeah.
The next month was How God Became Jesus by the Christian authors like Mike Lacona and Michael Bird, who I interviewed out of Australia, who is just a brilliant guy, great sense of humor.
And Craig Evans.
And Craig Evans down Evans. There at Houston Baptist,
he's
who's a fantastic scholar. And he talked about the crucifixion of Jesus and the nail that they found in the ossuary. And just so you have to be open and listen to both sides. And another one we did was Ray's book on cosmology.
The Story of the Cosmos.
Story of the Cosmos. And we dovetailed that with Pale Blue Dot by... Carl Sagan. And we, James interviewed his daughter, which was very nice.
I just mentioned, Daniel, that we have a link right now to thestoryofthecosmos.com because we still want to promote that book, don't we? So as they click on your picture, they can find that. Of course, they scroll down. They can also find the Atheist Christian Book Club. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, you know, what Bill just said, it was a fantastic opportunity to be a part of the Story of the Cosmos, the book, working with so many other scholars like William Lane Craig and such. But a double honor was having Carl Sagan's daughter available to being willing to be interviewed. I told her about our book club. I found her. I met her on Twitter, and she was amicable to the idea of an interview. And so I was able to interview her. But thanks to the experience that I garnished working with and talking to the atheists in the book club, there was a certain, and Sasha doesn't identify herself as an atheist, but it gave me the skill, just being a part of the book club, to be able to ask the right questions that weren't, you know, gotcha questions. They were conversational, they were amicable, and I just, it was just fascinating to be able to listen. And I think that's one thing the book club does help foster, is listening to people that you don't agree with, really listening to them. And to be able to, when you do that, you can learn how to continue a dialogue in a way that people will respect and understand your point of view.
An example of that is when Frank Turek came, you know, I thought he disrespected Christopher Hitchens in his debate with him, so I wasn't a big fan of him. But then, you know, at the break, I'm talking to him in the kitchen, and I'm relating to him as a person. You know, right. We're talking about New Jersey, and he had some wonderful arguments on the DNA, how DNA seems, what makes proteins is the structure and the order of the amino acids. It's not the chemical makeup. Thought that was a good argument. He talked about the mathematics and how we were able to understand them, and that he just made excellent arguments. Of course, the moral argument. And Christians need to know that there are good arguments for the existence of God. You know, atheists believe we might have some good arguments, you know, against, but I'm just saying, learn the arguments, read the books that support your cause. That's what's frustrating to me a lot of times, isn't it?
Well, one thing we do, Kirby, is we try to interact with the authors as well. So even though we only have about 20 to 35 people at the club, we've been able to have contact most of the time, either by video interview or either actually in person. We will have the author there that we can, both the atheists and the Christians can ask questions.
That is so good. And again, atheistchristianbookclub.com is one of the links. And I might just mention that after we come back from the break, I might talk a little bit about how, if people want to support anything you are doing, of course, Watchman Fellowship. I know you're coming to year end. You're looking for financial support for if there's a way to people can support the Atheist Christian Book Club or some of the other things. I wanted to encourage people during the break to go to the websites, because we have provided one for each one of you. And I encourage you, if you want to ask questions, make comments, or even suggest possible books, that will be the case. And in this last half hour, let's open up the phones, an open line. Maybe you have some comments or questions for the Christians or the atheists around the table here. Let's go around the round table for just a minute, talk about some of the resources, the web page, Facebook page, and everything. James Walker, let me come to you first, because Watchman Fellowship is a great organization. I mention it many times, especially when people are learning or want to know something about a religious group. But both that website, as well as the Atheist Christian Book Club and the Facebook page, talk about all the places where people can find information.
Right. Our Watchman main website is watchman.org, and we have tons of articles. We have an index of cults and religions on there that you can look up groups and kind of get a thumbnail appraisal of that particular group. But we're focusing there on interfaith evangelism. So apologetics, defending the faith of how do you reach somebody in another worldview, another religion? How can we, you know, share the gospel with them? And then our main site for the Atheist and Christian Book Club is atheistchristianbookclub.com. Mm-hmm. And that is a shared thing. This is not mine. It's you know, Bill's the co-founder. He's the atheist. I'm the other co-founder. I'm the Christian. And so there we have for over a year's worth of video that you can watch of past clubs,
yes,
upcoming clubs. You can actually reserve a spot if you're local and want to join us. We start off with a free meal and then have some good conversation. The meal go right into the club, and we have that available. And then there's a on Facebook, we also have Friends of Atheist Christian Book Club, and that's where you can actually interact all through the month, not at the club, and put your ideas out there and have conversation with others, either on the other side of the equation, the Christian talking to the atheist, or the atheist talking with the Christian.
Very good. Bill Clark, let's see if we can talk about Metroplex Atheist, if people want to contact you, or even just go through the Atheist Christian Book Club. What's available there?
Well, if you go to Jake Gilligan's on Wednesday at like 4 or 5 o'clock to 8, you can go and interact with atheist, and they will welcome Christians, just like they did with James.
Very good.
And or the Mid-Cities Theology Meetup, which is on 121 Glade with Todd Hedgecock, where I've learned more about Calvinism than I ever wanted to know.
So again, if people are having this go past real fast, again, we do have all that at our website, pointofview.net. And Daniel, we didn't post all of your Facebook page, but if they go to at least the Cosmos page, they'll find some of that. But talk about some of the other places where people can follow you.
Yeah, so we have the story of the cosmos.com where you can contact us, me directly. And I'm also active on Twitter, at story_cosmos. And that's just my own Twitter handle that I interact regularly with Christians and non-believers there. And then I also do a little podcast on Patreon, patreon.com/goodheavens. I've been doing it for 2 years with my co-host Wayne, who is also in the book. And we just talk about the universe from a Christian perspective. And so those are couple of platforms that I have presently right now.
Very good. Bill, let me come to you for just a minute, because it does seem to me that already you've talked about a few times where you said, I actually heard something on the other side that I hadn't heard before. Were a few of those sort of aha moments surfacing over this last year for you?
Well, they were kind of disturbing, especially, like I said, Frank Turk and Melissa.
Melissa Kane Travis.
Melissa Kane, yes.
Brilliant girl, yes. Who just made
a smart woman.
Fantastic arguments, from the scientific point of view, that how can we understand the laws of nature? Mm-hmm. Why in the world would that make sense to us? Mm-hmm. And to be fair, honest, one of the great arguments against atheists is the evolutionary argument against naturalism. Mm-hmm. How can we as evolved creatures actually understand the world and science if we've just evolved with all the mishaps and, trial and error? And, that was a very compelling argument to me.
And so, Greg Kokel's going to be on next week. And, of course, his book Tactics talks about, yes, feelings of guilt and all sorts of things that don't fit in an evolutionary point of view. But, James, I want to ask the same question. Were there some times when you said, wait a minute, I did not know atheists believe that? Or I didn't know that. That's a much better argument than I thought it was.
Yeah. Some of the arguments that I would have, and I would think, well, this works great. All my Christian friends love that argument. I float it out there, and it gets shot down. And mm-hmm. I'm thinking, okay, let me go back to the drawing board on that. This is why I think it helps me be a better thinker, I'm hoping. And one of the things is the reason I started this, and I do spend a lot of time on it. I try to justify how much time I spend. I enjoy it. I spend a lot of time on it. But, you really, and I knew this all along, but you reach more people by talking with them than talking about them.
Very, very true.
And there's only so much you can get out of reading the book until you spend time with people. And I used to say at every club meeting, this is a friendly conversation, that we're friendly. And eventually I had a number of my atheists say, no, James, we're not friendly. We are friends. And looking back on it, we are. And mm-hmm. although we're on the other side of the issue, one thing I love about Bill and Jim, who called earlier, and some of my atheist friends, is while we're on the other opposite sides of the issue, we all get it. This is the issue. Everything revolves around the question, is there a God? And if so, what has God said? And so in some ways, I do have more in common than with some of my Christian friends who they're Christian, but they don't really care about those issues very much.
No, and don't really have any kind of heart. Bill, you put your hand up.
Remember Francis Collins? The book he wrote?
The Language of God.
The Language of God. So I read Stephen Meyer's book, The Signature of the Cell, where he gave some incredible evidence about how RNA, there's like huge problems of having RNA come into DNA, to eventually become DNA. And then I read Francis Collins, who's a Christian, who gave some good arguments for evolution about the C gene, how it's been deactivated, and evolution seems to be the best case for it. So these things are really complex. They're really nuanced. The arguments are difficult, the cosmological ones, the biological ones. So you don't have to have all the answers, and you just be open to the evidence and try to do the best you can.
One of the things we do, Kirby, for the club is to try to make it user-friendly. We understand that a lot of people that are interested in the topic, they're not readers. And so we'll have a book and we'll say, this is our book for next month. The whole book's fair game, but here are the three focus chapters. Mm-hmm. And so we give that. And if you don't have time to read the book, here's a YouTube video. If you watch that YouTube video, you'll be conversant enough to be here and have the discussion. So we try to take people where they are in our culture. A lot of people, you don't read a lot of books. And so, but we want to get them to take them where they are and to bring them one step further to get them in the conversation. And I think that's one thing I get feedback from the club that's helpful.
You were talking about science. It just occurred to me that last week we had Michael Gillen with us. And, of course, he was the ABC science editor and, of course, has been on a number of programs. But his new book, The End of Life as We Know It, and he now lives in Dallas. So you could actually get the ABC science editor in there. Yeah. And Michael's actually in Denver today because he was doing something. He's actually trying to put together kind of a film company, but he's done some of that. So that'd be another one. And talk about some of these individuals that would be a draw. Yeah. Get to Nancy Piercy or some of those other kind of people that would really be a draw. You'd have to knock out some walls to get some of them.
What's interesting, and one of the things that the book club has done for me, you know, you think as a new author, I thought, you know, well, you have a book and somehow there's a magical except people will just magically accept what you say because you have a book. Just kind of in the back of my mind, I'm thinking this, but
I wish.
Yeah. Right. But, you know, it's a new author naivety, whatever. But one of the fun things, one of the wonderful things about the book club that has been a joy for me is to be able to take the ideas, break them down. And because you really don't know what you know until you have to explain it to somebody that doesn't see it your way. As James has been saying, you think these arguments are really sound and they're very convincing. And then you try to explain it to somebody who doesn't share your point of view. And suddenly, oh my gosh, I have to think of a better way to explain that. It's not that you're going to necessarily win them to your side per se, as much as it is. What I've learned is that if you're going to come with knowledge or you're going to come with experience, you really have to, in our book club, you really have to, you don't have to know everything, but you certainly do realize the necessity of taking ownership for what you know and to be able to share it and not necessarily be an authority, but at least share with people that you're sincere, compassionate, and people can see all that. So it's a combination of knowing people, getting to know people personally, having a good general knowledge of your subject material, which I think most of our club members do. And then to the interpersonal communication is all important. So it's a triune, complex triune amalgam of different aspects.
Let's take a break. When we come back, again, we encourage you to visit the website, pointofview.net, or go directly to atheistchristianbookclub.com. Either way is a good way to find some of that information. And thought I'd mention at least one more book. Michael Gillen's book would be one that I would certainly think would be easy since he's right here in the Dallas area more times than not. And, of course, all sorts of other potential ideas that you might want to pass on to them. And, Daniel, let me come to you for just a minute because I think you have a good illustration of one of the reasons why I think this is such a good idea. We have these intellectual silos, and over the years when I've done some debates on policy or science or whatever, I'll sometimes get the sense that somebody, I've done a debate, and I haven't done a lot of them, but I've done enough of those, that the other side doesn't even know that I was going to use that argument. Never heard that before. Now, most people that are doing debates usually read your stuff and see some of the other debates, but there is a world that where we just sort of read all our own people, and we sometimes don't even know there's an argument outside of our little silo, and you sort of ran into that the other day, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Talking to Carl Sagan's daughter, Sasha, for our interview for the book club, she was remarkable. She was wonderful. And I assured her that it wasn't, my conversation with her was not going to be a debate, but that I would ask her some questions for our atheists and Christians to, so she can give an answer. And we agreed that what she said was not necessarily representative of her father. And we understood that. So I started off about halfway through our conversation. We were talking about her book, which I had read. She actually sent me a copy of it, and she was very cordial about that. So I asked what I thought would be a very simple question. I said, how come from either you or your father that the universe does not count as evidence for God's existence? And I could tell from her response that she was probably at the very least not expecting the question. And it seemed, you know, she did answer it, but it was sort of for me in the defining moment of the interview where I realized she was not ready for the question. I mean, she answered it as a skeptic would, but I think it's those kinds of moments where you bring something up and maybe your interlocutor has not thought of that. And then it's the diplomacy of how do you, okay, I gotcha, or do you continue to ask questions, or you know, the interpersonal nature of when somebody recognizes maybe you've made a point, do you jump on the wall and declare victory, or how do you continue the conversation after that? So it was really, I was not trying to play, you know, gotcha with her, but it was just a very good experience for me to learn personally how to handle those kinds of questions when they come up in debates and things.
You know, Bill, I would say there are a lot of Christians that have a lot of misconceptions of what an atheist is like. So even coming to a meeting like this has them go, oh, I didn't know you believed that, or I didn't know you thought that way.
Well, atheists are all over the place. Recently, the Atheist Edge had a podcast of TJ going to a Trump rally here in Dallas. So he's a conservative Christian, as is Robert Price, who's one of the big time atheists. So, you know, it's a broad spectrum, you know, that we have.
Sure.
And I wanted to tell a little quick story about, we had Tim McGrew, who's one of our favorite people.
And we've had Tim here many times. We love Tim.
So someone asked a question, and I just kind of interrupted him. I said, well, there's historical evidence in the Bible. There's fictional evidence, and there's quasi-historical. And he goes, well, thanks for that confession of faith, but I believe he asked me the question. So that is so witty. So we, you know, admire Christians that have wit and humor and so forth, which sadly is lacking in the atheist community.
And if you want to play chess, never play Tim McGrew or his daughter,
yes,
who is one of the best in the world. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Phenomenal. As a matter of fact, beat Mike Lacona with her back to it. these are really talented families, yes, indeed. Right. Any things that maybe you learned, or maybe some of the differences that surfaced and maybe said, oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, Bill's right. You learn that you have this picture in your head of all atheists are going to be a certain age, they're going to be grumpy, they're going to be, you know, the typical prototypical atheist. No, they're all over the map. And one of the early conversations we had, it was like one of them asked me, well, do you believe in predestination, God predestines things, and there's no real freedom? And I'll say, well, I'll answer that, but first I'd like, do you believe that there's such a thing as freedom? And I was reading Sam Harris's book, Free Will, where he argues that the mind is material, therefore there's no such thing as free will. Well, the interesting thing was the rest of the discussion was the atheists arguing with each other about that.
Yes.
Half on one side, half on the other.
Oh,
so
I've run into that.
It's not a monolithic thing. And but all of it, what it does for me, being part of the Atheist and Christian Book Club, is it gets me out of the echo chamber.
Right.
And I can learn a lot about atheism as a worldview by reading, and that's very important, but you only really learn how to interact with people by doing it.
Yeah. Now, both of you have a similar situation in that you were both converts of some sort, a convert from Mormonism to Christianity, a convert from Christianity to atheism. And so in some respects, it gives you a sort of a broader view, I've gotten the sense. You do run into some people that have this tunnel vision. They've been a Christian all their life. They've always gone to Christian school, or they grew up in an atheist home. I grew up in Berkeley. I have a real understanding of what that's like to just only know people that are like you, only know liberal, progressive, secularist. Okay. So in some respects, you bring to the table an open-mindedness that is still hard to find here in America, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I admire James for leaving the Mormon faith, because I've known Mormons, and it is a lot tougher than, you know, if you're just a casual Christian leaving the faith.
I've asked several Christians, or several atheists, rather, at our club, just in private conversation, if you had sufficient proof that Christianity was true, would you then be willing to worship Jesus? And I've got different answers. The majority have said no, actually. But there are some that said, no, I've had sufficient evidence. But then they reversed the question on me. James, have you had sufficient proof that Christianity was not true? And I said, touche. You know, that's a good question. I know the correct answer. The correct answer would be you go with truth no matter where it leads.
Right.
And I don't know what I would do because I'm not in that situation. The only thing I have to go on is when I used to believe in Mormonism with all my heart, when I got the evidence that the Book of Mormon was not true and that Joseph Smith was not a true prophet, I was willing to lose family, friends, and make that switch. And I hope I would still have that courage to do the right thing now. But you really don't know until you get to that point, would you do the right thing?
And let me tell you, James has come across people like John Loftus, some of the biggest, David Fisher, some of the biggest atheist hitters out there. And what if you know the arguments? I've been preaching this to Christians for when I used to be a Christian. I said, get the bad news out, okay? Expose them before they go to college, because nothing's worse than getting blindsided by an argument you don't know.
Right.
And there's nothing either of these two guys I could say, or probably anybody else could say, that would just totally blindside them and throw them off the rails.
Yes. And we talked about that yesterday because we talked about the Mind Games camp. You know, Dr. Ray Bolin pretends to be an atheist and asks really tough questions. And within minutes, I see these kids, some of whom may have come from homeschool, Christian school, or maybe they were in the public schools. They all start looking at their shoes because they don't want anybody to call on them, because they have never. They can sometimes give you the what, but not the why. They can give you the cliche, and that's it. And so,
well, Sean McDowell, who we read his book, he does his coat thing where he puts on the atheist coat, and the Christian said, are those things true?
Yeah. Anyway. And takes them to Berkeley and takes them to Salt Lake City and places like that. Yeah. We're just about out of time. But again, I want people to go to the atheistchristianbookclub.com. And let's talk about the next meeting, because some of our listeners might say, well, okay, you've convinced me. Friday, December 6th, right?
Yes.
And so they can tune in and see it on Facebook Live, and they can actually suggest future books and those kinds of things. So,
we have somebody monitor the social media there, so you can ask your question, make your comment, and we'll bring it up for the whole group.
And if you're in the Dallas area on Friday, December 6th at 7 p.m., go to Arlington. It has the address, and you can actually go and watch all these people that we've been talking about, as well as a couple of others, participate in the event. So I want to thank all three of you for being here today. And James, Bill, great to meet you.
Yes,
and
same
Daniel,
here.
I'll see you in the future. And I hope that you've appreciated this conversation about the Atheist Christian Book Club.
We hope you have enjoyed this special rebroadcast episode of our November 2019 interview on Point of View Radio about our Atheist and Christian Book Club. We ask that you please be in prayer for our book club, that we can continue to have authors join us, pray for both skeptics and believers who participate in the club, and for God's sustained provision as we strive to bring Him glory. Apologetics Profile and the Atheist and Christian Book Club are ministries of Watchman Fellowship Incorporated, Arlington, Texas. For more information about what we do at Watchman, you can visit our website at watchman.org. That is Watchman with an A, .org. For Watchman Fellowship, I'm Staff Apologist Daniel Ray.